going to talk some more Packers football. Eric Edholm of the Pro Football Weekly now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing today, man?
Everything's good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We are glad you are here. So when you heard that Matt LaFleur is going to be the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, what was your reaction?
A little bit of surprise, only because, you know, they had interviewed nine other candidates and some good ones, some qualified ones, and, you know, guys at different stages in their careers, different levels of experience, that sort of thing. And, you know, no other team this year had interviewed Matt LaFleur for a job. So, you know, it doesn't mean that he was a bad candidate. It didn't mean he wasn't, you know, warmly considered around the league as a candidate. But I do think that, you know, his stock had been a little higher last year prior to the Titans struggling at times on offense. Again, I've always said that you can't judge a head coaching candidate by 1 year's worth of coordinating work. But it did feel like maybe more teams, there was a little more buzz around him last year than there was this year.
So now that he's been introduced and he is getting ready to put his staff together, we were sitting here talking in the first hour about whether or not the Packers actually should end up back in the postseason next year. I said, look, there's probably four games they could have won. They had a couple of penalties called against them late in the game against the Minnesota Vikings. They let the Arizona game slip away. They let the Rams game slip away. So they just couldn't figure out a way to win. Do you expect this team to be back this upcoming season?
Yeah, a lot to figure out, obviously, between now and August, right? I mean, two first-round draft picks. It appears a more aggressive mentality towards free agency. We'll see who has to, you know, be let go because of salary or other reasons. So there's clearly a roster that's in flux right now. You know, we just watched the Chicago Bears win 12 games. Are they going to be better or worse? We don't know. The Minnesota Vikings probably underachieved. So there's a division aspect to it as well. But, you know, my early gut feeling is that the Packers will have a chance. I think there's one of the first good moves is bringing back Mike Pettine to coordinate the defense. I realize the results on that side of the ball weren't optimal, but I think there were some positive signs and trends towards the end of the year that, you know, he's the right guy for the job. And it's never a bad thing in my mind to have another former head coach on staff just to kind of bounce ideas off of and let Pettine run the defense, kind of like what Matt Nagy had in his first year here in Chicago. With Vic Fangio, a veteran, just sort of, all right, you go run the defense, let me work on the O.
How much pressure does Sean McVay have on him this weekend? And I say that in a sense legitimately, because people are trying to find all the next Sean McVays. Well, Sean McVay doesn't have a win in the postseason yet. And if he doesn't win again this year, then he's a Sean McVay that's a fantastic guy turning a team around but can't get you a win in the postseason.
Right. You know, small sample size, right, two seasons, and obviously the Rams appeared to be pretty low when McVay took over, but they quickly changed the landscape of that team. They've won a lot of games the past two seasons. I do think you're right. I mean, there's at least a little bit of short-term pressure on that. You know, we might look back a decade from now and Sean McVay could have multiple Super Bowl rings, or he could be fired and working for another team. It's so hard to know because, you know, I think back to all the head coaches who had strong first seasons, and, you know, we could say the same about Nagy in Chicago. Things can change quickly. You can have two straight losing seasons, and all of a sudden people turn on you. So, I do think in the short term, as far as, like, all these candidates that seem to have some kind of connection to Sean McVay, maybe they had a beer with him once, and all of a sudden they're
going
to head coaching interviews. But, yeah, I think for his sake, he'd love to tell you that, we won this division. We've got home playoff games back-to-back years. We got to win the second one.
When the Packers take the field next year, I believe that Mike Pettine is going to be the defensive coordinator.
Right.
With what he had to work with this year, how well do you think Mike Pettine performed?
You know, I mean, I still think there were some things that were left to be desired a little bit, but, you know, for a team that didn't have a clearly defined elite pass rusher, their sack numbers were very good. And the fact that they had this sort of strange mix in the secondary of a lot of young guys and then some veterans towards the end of their career, you know, meshing that group together with injury issues, development, you know, I thought maybe Josh Jackson would be a little bit better in year one. You know, we're still waiting for Kevin King to kind of emerge. I think he's a talent. I really do. Jair Alexander had some great moments, and he had some forgettable ones down the stretch, too. So it was kind of a mixed bag, but I think all things considered, you know, with no real playmakers at the inside linebacker spot. Kenny Clark getting hurt at the end of the year. You know, Clay Matthews off to the rough start and then all that. I think things are pretty good. I really do. Considering everything they faced, I would say the results were not that bad.
The defensive side of the football, I think, is probably going to be the biggest ask for the new general manager in Green Bay, Brian Gutekunst. Had a shot at picking up Khalil Mack last year. They didn't go deep enough into the pond. There's really not that kind of pass rusher out there. Is there going to be any free agents that you're going to look at and say, okay, this might draw a lot of interest and there's a legitimate pass rusher that's going to be on the market?
Well, there's some really good players who could hit the market. We have to see what their respective, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, for people you know, who watch the Cowboys Saturday night, we're going to see a player who I think is tremendous. Now, he may be a little bit more ideally fitting in an even front, a little different from what the Packers have run, but it's not to say that he couldn't be a fit there. Trey Flowers for New England, you'll see him on Sunday, a high-effort, high-impact player, never going to be a 15-sack guy by any means, but somebody who constantly lives in the backfield, clearly, to me at least, the best player in the New England Patriots defensive line. Those are two guys whose contracts are coming up. We don't know if they'll be franchised. We don't know what else might happen for them. There are a couple other veterans, I think, who could fit into that role, too. I would also say that this draft appears pretty strong, at least towards the top, for pass rush talent. It may not be, you know, the greatest year we've ever seen, but I think it's pretty good. I really do. And, again, I'm kind of early in my work in the pass rush. We'll start with Nick Bosa at the top. He'll be gone by the Packers' pick at 12. But there are going to be multiple options in rounds 1 and 2, I think, for them to address as far as the pass rush position is concerned on the outside. And like I said, that core and that scheme have also produced pretty good numbers overall sack-wise.
Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. A addition by subtraction, I think, in the division is the fact that Vic Fangio is gone. Vic Fangio now heads out to Denver, takes over that head coaching job. Do you see this defense just kind of continuing on without Vic? Because he's been kind of a mainstay and the gruff veteran that has been kind of walking the halls over there at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, for 4 years, he really oversaw this thing. And, you know, it was not a good group when he took over. I think they showed this slow, steady improvement. And then by the second half of last season, you saw this group kind of forcing more turnovers, making more impact plays. Not enough, but still there. And then when they added Mac in training camp in August, you know, it was the move that brought everything together. That was the one thing that they didn't have, I didn't think, was that top-tier pass rusher. And it opened things up for Akeem Hicks and Leonard Floyd. It just felt like that was a masterstroke by Ryan Pace. Now, the price was high. They had to pay him money. They had to pay draft picks to Oakland. You know, they're not picking until the 91st selection or something like that in the draft. And losing Fangio clearly is going to at least set them back in the short term. Like we were talking about with Pettine and LaFleur, you know, there was just this sense of, like, Vic has everything under control on defense. You don't have to worry about them. They had a couple poor games, but for the most part, they were exceptional. Who do they replace them with? Do they have a different philosophy? I don't think having, you know, all this talent is going to result in a huge fallback, but I do think that, you know, it's going to take a little while to sort out, you know, kind of the play calling and all that.
In the division, we know the Vikings passed the torch to the Bears. Who is the best team sitting here today? Still the Bears?
It's hard to say. Yeah, I will say this. The Bears' schedule this year ended up being pretty easy, you know, in terms of, you know, the number of strong teams they ended up facing this season was, I think they ended up statistically with about the 31st strongest schedule. So you have to factor that in. Losing Fangio, you know, they may lose Bryce Callahan, Adrian Amos, you know, there may be changes in the offensive line. So there'll be a little setbacks in some spots. I would reluctantly say the Bears. I think they'll be considered kind of the odds-on favorite, but it would not stun me one bit if the Packers or Vikings you know, could take that back from them.
The Aaron Rodgers controversy here as opposed to the outside world, for a long time we looked at Aaron and said, okay, he's Superman. He can do anything.
Yep.
And then when he starts missing a few throws, taking some backhanded shots at the head coach, the play calling, things like that, you think, okay, maybe he's just not in sync or not in a good place right now. Did you see anything that would lead you to believe that Aaron Rodgers, for what this blip on the radar was this year, even though statistically it was really good, he wasn't Superman. Do you see anything that would lead you to believe that he is not going to return as the brash young man that can do anything and maybe be an MVP style of quarterback next season?
Yeah, it's difficult to say, but I would say that I still think he's got brilliant football left. I really do. And you know, there were times where he'd miss these really easy throws, stuff that he could do in his sleep, and it almost felt like he was, you know, it was like a throw to the flat, and he would underthrow it or throw at the guy's ankles or something like that. And you just thought, you know, there was some sloppy mechanics. There was just almost a kind of a, I don't know, I'd say a lackadaisical attitude, but it was just sort of the kind of thing that we just never really saw out of him. You're right about the numbers. I mean, there are quarterbacks who would give up their left arm to throw it, to do what Aaron Rodgers did this season statistically, but you're right. It didn't pass the eye test for Packers fans who had come to expect near weekly greatness out of him. And maybe that a little bit of that is unfair, but Aaron raised the bar because he's an exceptional talent. And I think a head coaching change, at least in the short term, will have that effect. I mean, you remember Brett Favre in 05 to 06. We were having these same questions about him, right? I mean, he was throwing more interceptions than Aaron was, but it was the same questions about will he ever be great again. And I think Mike McCarthy really brought that out of him 06 into 07 in that 07 season. I believe it can happen again with Aaron. And I don't know if Matt LaFleur is the guy in and of himself, but you know, if Aaron reasserts himself, they've got great talents like Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams. I think they'll add more. You know, I absolutely think he's got that potential again.
Eric, great stuff. Certainly appreciate it. They can find you guys at profootballweekly.com as well. And I know you got some good stuff coming up on the website, so hopefully everybody gets there and reads it, but we appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. Talk to you real soon.
As always, there you go. Pro Football Weekly's Eric Edholm joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Again, you can read their stuff at profootballweekly.com. That is profootballweekly.com.